now to turn our attention to the international newspapers. Emily Boyle joins us in studio for that. And Emily's going to start with coverage of that massive blackout in Spain and Portugal. What are the papers saying?
Yeah, well, let's start with the front pages in Spain and Portugal. La Razón here in Spain has a pretty self-explanatory front page. Total chaos there. They warn that people will still have to wait a few hours before power is completely restored. ABC calls it El Gran Apagón, or the Big Blackout. Its subtitle here reads, an unprecedented blackout of unclear origin creates total chaos in Spain. And the Big Blackout seems to be the term that's being used in many papers to describe the accident. La Vanguardia, though, goes for something even simpler. Spain blacked out. They use a photo here of all the blocked passengers waiting at Barcelona's main station. Now, in Portugal, the Jornal de Noticias here calls it an Iberian blackout and blames the Spanish for it. The other paper from Portugal here, Negocios, says that the country is close to a nervous breakdown because people are so exasperated by the standstill.
Indeed, a lot of chaos, a lot of misery, a lot of blaming there. But beyond the front pages, Emily, any more insights into the potential cause?
Yes, well, a lot of people are trying to explain the causes, but some people are also trying to understand who's at fault. For La Razón, again, the right-wing paper, they have a quite critical editorial today. They blame Spain's president, Pedro Sanchez. This article demands for an explanation that stopped a powerhouse like Spain in its tracks. It says that the paralysis demonstrated the inability of the government to react to a national emergency. It accuses President Sanchez of not communicating enough and not providing security for the Spanish people. El País, meanwhile, here is pointing the finger at the shortcomings in the connection between the Iberian Peninsula and the rest of the European electricity grid. It says the problem is due to France's lack of interest in, quotes, facilitating capacity south of the Pyrenees. Now, if we look at the British press, Sky News here has an interesting analysis piece looking at how electricity grids fail and why restoring them is such a nightmare. Portugal's operator blamed a rare atmospheric phenomenon, and Spain's grid operator has not yet provided its hypothesis, but this article says that a single localised event is unlikely to be the cause. The article looks at the fragile balancing act between supply and demand, which, if left unmonitored, can cause failures. Crucially, it says restoring power is even trickier. If you restore it too quickly, the system can fail again. But if you take too long, some power plants might struggle to restart at all.
And also, Emily, on the same story, you found a number of articles of how people adapted to a day without power.
Yes, exactly. Well, sorry, I just need to go back to my page here. A lot of people are looking at how people made the most of not having power. Publico here, the Portuguese press, was looking at tramway drivers whose tramways were stuck in the middle of the street. They made sure that the trams didn't move, obviously, and stuck where they were. And they spent their time eating feta and playing cards. El Mundo had this editorial here, which celebrated a happy and outrageous day in the Middle Ages. It said the streets were once again filled with people spontaneously chatting and not looking at their phones. The Guardian also looking at how people dealt with it and celebrating the community spirit that filled the streets of Madrid. They said that electricity outages can't hold a candle to people power. It praises the relative calm that reigned in Spain's capital, apart from the occasional angry taxi driver.
Okay. Well, let's move to news from China now. You found a report published by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, and it sheds a light on China's tactics to silence its critics across the world.
Yes, exactly. Well, the collective of journalists from around the world published this report today outlining China's methods of silencing critics abroad. They call it a machinery of repression. Their investigation shows how the failure to contain Chinese authoritarianism allowed it to reach into intergovernmental institutions such as the United Nations and Interpol. One of the most widespread methods was called emotional influence of kinship, which effectively means putting pressure on people's families to stop them getting involved in activism.
Okay, one to read. Meanwhile, let's move to some sporting news. Anticipation building for the first leg of the Champions League semi-finals between Paris Saint-Germain and Arsenal.
Yes, exactly. Well, things are ramping up in anticipation for tonight. Aujourd'hui en France says it's go time. Meanwhile, L'Équipe is celebrating here an explosive challenge as PSG face off with the Gunners. And indeed, the British press says that Arsenal is going to have to come in all guns blazing if they want a chance for a win. Finally, in the Mirror, they say that head coach Mikel Arteta will have to try hard if he's able to make history.
And finally, Emily, you bring us a news story about a very clumsy, irresponsible, I'd say, student in Japan.
Yes, exactly. Well, you'd think being rescued once from a mountain was enough for most people, but not for this student. The Tokyo Weekender brings us news that a university student was rescued from Mount Fuji twice in 4 days. He was first helicoptered off the summit when his crampons fell off. Unfortunately, he realised that he forgot his phone on the top of the mountain in the process. So he went back up, only to have to be saved again after suffering from severe altitude sickness. Now, this article isn't clear on if he managed to find his phone, so we might be looking at a third headline with the student in the next coming days.
Gosh, well, for the rescue services involved, I surely hope not. Emily Boyle, thanks a lot for that look at the international papers. Time for a